Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into the other games. We'll start with Packers and Eagles. This was interesting. The Eagles offense got booed several times in this game. Jalen Hurts did very little offensively. A.J. Brown caught only one football, but they won the game by double digits. So was some of the criticism that was levied at them for the way they won the game, was it justified and earned, Pat?
I mean, at the end of the day, I believe so, because the playoffs is not only one of the, you know, hardest places to play, but there's going to be, you know, all type of game time adjustments, you know, the team really understanding what you want to do, play in and play out. But at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles play the way the Philadelphia Eagles play, you know, control the clock. You know, only thing that was missing that they didn't have any big plays in the passing game for the most part, you know, but for, you know, but if you go back and watch the Philadelphia Eagles throughout the season, tell me when Jalen Hurts had, how many times he had over 280 yard passing, you know what I mean? It's just something that just don't happen with their offense. You know, their offense.
Now, is that because they don't trust him? I mean, why are they asking him to do so little?
You know, that's a good question, but I honestly think as a defender, it makes him that much more dangerous because as a defender defending dual threat quarterbacks, he's a guy that not only can throw the ball decent enough that can beat you, but you got to worry about how he can beat you with his legs. You know, he's not like, you know, most running quarterbacks that don't really have any accuracy or can't throw the ball at all. He can still, you know, get the ball to his playmakers. You know, and mind you, he has some of the best playmakers in the game. And, you know, Devontae
and
Smith.
Ryan gives him tons of time. I mean, the offensive line is phenomenal. At one point in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, I looked up and he was 6 of 13 for 39 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're an RPO team. They're not like a drop back, you know, sling the football all around the yard team. They're a team that's going to, you know, like I said, control the game by running the football, RPOs, you know, screens here and there, you know, and then if you start stacking the box, then that's when they take their shot. But for the most part, that's how they win majority of the football games.
But I guess what I'm saying is I don't understand if – because I've said very, very complimentary things of Hurts. I think when I put my top 10 together – I put Hurts in there and you said take Hurts out and put Herbert in or somebody else. And I don't know if it was Herbert, but you said don't put him in the top 10. They have the pieces and the weapons to basically have Baltimore's offense.
Yeah.
They've got better receivers. They've got a better offensive line. Their running back might even be better. And look, we know with Baltimore, it's run first. I mean, they averaged more yards per carry than any team in NFL history this year. But Lamar still got his 40 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it was only 36 rushing yards for Hurts. So I don't know, man. Like, this is another question I guess I'll ask you and defer to you as a pro. Did it feel to you watching like Philadelphia's defense, like Philly's defense won them the game, or the Packers' offense lost the game? Like, it was more self-inflicted wounds by Green Bay than it was Philadelphia making great plays to force the turnovers and get stops.
100%. I mean? Yeah, 100%. Philadelphia Eagles defense won this football game.
Okay.
There's no question about that. You know, causing three turnovers, You know, holding Josh Jacob under 100 yards. You know, he's pretty much, he was the biggest rusher on the Green Bay Packers team all game. The next leading rusher was Jordan Love with 10 yards. You know, so I feel like for the most part, the defense did a solid job against the run game and just against the pass. They just pretty much put a blanket on all of the receivers.
And then they all started getting hurt.
Say it again.
And then they all started getting hurt.
Exactly. And then they had, it seemed like, you know,
Dobbs went out.
Yep. It seemed like the Philadelphia Eagles had a blindfold on Jordan Love, especially in the second half. You know, so, you know, the offense really could never really get out the game. It started off with the first kickoff of the game, you know, when the kick returner fumbled the ball.
Play should have been reversed. I thought Nixon got it back.
I did too. But apparently, you know, the refs saw what they saw. But that's when you know it's going to be a long day when you give the Philadelphia Eagles an extra possession, because that is a team that you do not want to give extra possession to, because we know they're going to control the clock. We know they're going to play keep away by controlling the clock. And you have to pretty much play mistake-free football when you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, because 9 out of 10, they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot, especially during the second half of their football season. You know, so the Philadelphia Eagles definitely got it going in the right time of the year. I know there was plenty of questions about if, you know, Vic was going to survive as a defensive coordinator, but this team is finally getting back into, you know, preseason prediction by, you know, being one of the final teams standing in the NFC.
Do you like that Sirianni came out after the game and said, I don't think we had the kind of game we wanted on offense?
No, I think that's reasonable in what he alluded to after the game, because they did not play, you know, the game that they, you know, really wanted to offensively, although they was able to put some points on the board, you know, move the ball efficiently up and down the field. But, you know, offensive coordinators and offensive-minded guys, they always think about time of possession have to equal points. You know, I don't know what the time of possession was. What
you said, basically, like, hey, our defense played its ass off. We controlled the clock in the game. This is who we want to be. You know, I was surprised that he didn't take that tact of like, this is our identity as a football team. Instead, he almost bemoaned how difficult things were for them for chunks of that game. Pat, I got to be honest with you, though. I feel like if they had played Washington, they would have lost. Just the way both teams played today, if that Eagles team if the way Washington played matched up against the Eagles, I think Washington would have beat them today. I thought the Commanders' offensive performance, that they could have taken that game on the road and given Philadelphia a better game. And I'm not convinced that Philadelphia's offense would have scored more than 22 points against the Commanders' defense.
Yeah, I can see that being, you know, the Commanders giving, you know, the Eagles a fight, just because how, I won't say how potent their offense is, but the pressure that their offense is a lot, is able to apply to the opposing team. You know what I mean? So you have to be thinking every time you're on the football field, we got to get points, because again, this is a young, hungry football team as well. Like you talked about early on in this segment, that they have the highest fourth down conversion rate, you know, in the NFL, you know? So again, when you're playing the Washington Commanders, we're playing against a rookie quarterback out of the window now, because, you know, his rookie season is pretty much over. You know, he has graduated into, you know, as an NFL quarterback, and he's been playing this way, you know, throughout the football season. So it's actually pretty awesome to see the growth and the understanding of the game that Jaden has, you know, at the quarterback position, because it's very rare that you see young quarterbacks coming to the game that have the confidence, that have the poise, that have the understanding not only of his offense, but understanding how important he is to the football team. You know, so his future is very, very bright. Again, man, Dan Quinn, they got him one with Jaden Daniels, because, again, the moment never really seemed too big for him, and he just seemed to thrive in every big moment that presents itself to him. And it's quite remarkable to see, to be honest with you.
It'll be interesting what the reaction is in Philly. My guess is their fans will be bitching and moaning about this game and say, hey, look at the way the other contenders played, the Bills, the Ravens this weekend. If we play this way against the Lions, we'll lose. But it did stylistically look like a lot of the Chiefs games this year, where the offense wasn't all that successful, but the defense was so good that it didn't matter. All right, let's move on to the Broncos and Bills. Buffalo, after falling in a 7-0 hole, basically opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Broncos. What impressed you most about Buffalo's win, Pat?
I have to go how stymie their run defense was. You know, we talked about, you know, how we felt how the interior part of their defense was the weakest link. You couldn't tell coming out of this game because, you know, the run defense was pretty much outstanding, you know, holding the Denver Broncos to 79 yards. Hell, Bo Nix was the highest rusher in that game as well. You know, so defenses are coming to play. It seemed to be throughout this early start in this 2024 NFL draft. But the biggest takeaway, I go with the Bills defense. Bills rush defense able to pretty much take their running game out of the equation and trying to force Bo Nix to beat them with his arm. And that was something that he wasn't able to do. They applied, you know, a lot of pressure just with their guys up front to try to force him to beat coverages in the back end, and that was just something that he couldn't do on a consistent basis. So I go with the run defense of the Bills, because I know Sean Payton had that on the top of his mind as well, knowing that this is one of the weak links of this defense, because you don't want to get in a shootout match in with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to win that shootout, you know? So what do you feel you have to do? That's control the clock. And they was not able to do that, you know, after that first drive from the Denver Broncos in this game here tonight. So, you know, the Bills was just a little bit too much for the Denver Broncos. It was a great season for the Denver Broncos, Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and that Denver Broncos defense. But like I said, just, the Buffalo Bills was just too much of a team for the Bills. I'm sorry, for the Denver Broncos to match up with. They were just more better equipped, you know, all around the board, from, you know, the offensive line to the running back to the quarterback to the receivers. The defense played better than the Denver Broncos defense. They got to the quarterback better than the Denver Broncos defense. So just all around. Just a hell of a game by the Denver Broncos, the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott and Josh Allen.
Well, they needed to do something against the run, because if they didn't and won the game, then they would really look like they were in for it with the Ravens coming to town next week. Yeah. I mean, you need to stop Denver's run game to prove or show that you have any prayer, any hope of doing it against Baltimore. I'm still not optimistic that they'll be able to. That's why I thought this offense needed to get back to showing that it could basically score at will. And they only punted once in the game. They're back over 30 points after they kind of paced themselves, I thought, the last few games of the season, the New England matchup, the Jets matchup. I was just blown away by Allen. And I know I shouldn't be, because he does it he all season. That's why he's going to be no worse than the runner-up in the MVP voting. But I think I appreciate it more, Pat, because he doesn't have Derrick Henry next to him. Yeah. And, you know, he spread the ball around to 8 guys today. Their leading receiver was Curtis Samuel, who's like a jack-of-all-trades player. That fourth down touchdown throw he made to Johnson, the third down back in the back of the end zone, that sliding catch play, was incredible, that he kept that play alive for as long as he did. He did not do it against some ham and egg defense. I mean, Denver led the league in sacks. They are statistically one of the best in the league. We've credited them all year for how well coached they are. They've got the best corner in the league. Allen, the defensive tackle, is great. He's an all-pro. Benito came on and was one of the great pass rushers in the league this season. And it didn't matter against Allen. They ran the ball too, over 200 yards. Cook went over 100. I think he had like the most rushing yards in a game by a Bill since Thurman Thomas, going back to the early 90s. So, wow. it just was thorough. After the shaky start, they settled in. I mean, that could have rattled them right there. You let Denver come out and there's a 45 yard touchdown right over your head to start. I mean, that could have shook them a little bit, but it didn't defensively. They buckled in and got the job done. I think after that, Knicks might have only had like 100 passing yards. So,
yeah, I believe so, because that first pass was about 50 yards.
Right. So, I didn't see it coming. I thought Denver was going to be more competitive than this. And it's just a reminder that the Bills are part of that elite tier of teams that can win a Super Bowl. And that Ravens-Bills game on paper looks like it's going to be the best one of next week.